Passage 2.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is John Scott, and I have been a member of the Canadian Transportation Agency since this past spring. Just a few weeks ago, it was a great honor for me to be designated as the next vice chair of the agency, an appointment that will take effect when the term of my colleague, Giles Dufault, ends early in the new year. Thank you for this opportunity to speak about the agency. We very much believe that open and responsive communications, such as this presentation this evening, are critical to the agency's success and to meeting our commitment to quality service. In this fast-paced world, almost everyone, CILT NA members being a significant exception, takes transportation issues for granted. We hop on a plane to attend a meeting in another city. We take a train to work every day. We drive a foreign-made car that was delivered to a Canadian port, then to a train, then to a truck, and then to a dealer. All of this without a thought to how these transportation modes are managed for the public good. That's where the Canadian Transportation Agency comes in. And my comments this evening will be focused on two aspects of the agency: who we are in 2007, and how some recent key legislative changes are impacting our direction into the future. As you know, we are an independent, quasi-judicial tribunal that regulates air, marine, and rail transport that fall under federal jurisdiction. The agency oversees Canadian ownership and control requirements for the airline industry, and is the federal licensing authority for air and rail carriers. We are also responsible for ensuring that undue obstacles to the mobility of persons with disabilities are removed from federally regulated transportation services and facilities. Being this country's most experienced tribunal of its kind, the agency is, of course, well aware that change is never a finite matter, but rather a constant process. Change is never ending. As it has been on several other occasions throughout its history, our organization is now at a crossroads where we must imperatively choose the right path if we are to continue to effectively deliver on our mandate. However, it is important to emphasize that whenever we undergo change, the agency is always focused on a single strategic outcome, as enunciated in the agency's 2006-2007 performance report tabled by the Minister of Transport, Infrastructure, and Communities in the House of Commons on November 1st, 2007. That stated outcome is a fair and transparent economic regulatory regime that helps achieve a viable and accessible national transport system. And that is what we are evaluated against by Parliament. And to drive our achievement of that outcome in the years to come, there are new decision makers and a new approach at the agency. With the passage of amendments to the Canada Transportation Act this past summer, the agency, on the decision-making side, will be made up of 5 rather than 7 full-time members, now all being based in the National Capital Region. The new chair and chief executive officer, Jeffrey Hare, was appointed on January 25 of this year. Mr. Hare came to the agency after a distinguished 25-year career in the Ontario Public Service in the areas of economic policy development and finance, including extensive experience in dealing with transportation issues. Another new member, also appointed early this year, is Raymond Kaduk, an experienced air transportation economist who has served on ministerial advisory committees on trade policy and airline restructuring issues. As noted earlier, I joined the agency a few months ago, and shortly after that, Mark McKeegan, most recently senior legal counsel with IATA, and prior to that, a lawyer with NAV Canada, was appointed to the agency. Our backgrounds are different, but very complementary, and already, under the leadership of Jeff Hare, our collegiality and ability to be immediately accessible on the many issues facing the agency has had an impact on our staff and the direction of the agency. And we, as new members, are also very fortunate to have excellent transition guidance from former members, including the agency's current vice chair, Giles Dufault, who will have spent a decade as a member of the agency when he retires from the organization in early 2008, and also including Beaton Tulk, who has been an agency member since 2002 and will also be leaving the agency in 2008. As concerns the new approach to delivering on our mandate, a core internal change is being implemented by the agency, namely, a clear redefinition of our two primary business lines. One, dispute resolution, and two, industry regulation and determinations. Of course, the agency's specialized modal expertise in the air, rail, and marine areas is still present in each of the two new branches within this hybrid organizational model. However, this more functional business delivery structure allows the agency to make the best use of our people, our knowledge, and our experience to respond to ever-increasing and changing caseload demands. Our intent is to make it easier for all our stakeholders to better understand the agency and how we work. We want to facilitate their access to the agency in a way which better assists us in processing their issues, which in the last year involved some 3,500 rulings across all transportation modes. The agency's commitment to improving stakeholder access, achieving greater caseload management efficiencies, and to faster rulings is a priority shared both by the agency executive team and members. As you can therefore well appreciate, the times they are a-changing for transportation, one of the most dynamic sectors, CILTNA's sector, in our Canadian economy. Our agency commitment and goal, as I have hopefully outlined in these comments, is to embrace those changes while remaining true in our regulatory role to our core values of being responsive, effective, fair, and transparent to help achieve an efficient and accessible transportation system for Canadians. Thank you.